we could take the verse Tatikshava Karunika, we could discuss the qualities of the sadhu, and we could apply each one, and maybe we'll do some of that today, but it certainly would be appropriate. I could do that. I can tell some of the things I remember about my association with Jayananda. We'll do some of that. Wish I remembered more, but I got the essence of it, the association. But I think that one way we could approach it would be to consider how Jayananda, what his importance is to us, specifically to us, because we're his contemporaries, and what his particular contribution was to the Krishna consciousness movement. His contribution was extraordinary because he was he joined so early in 1967, and he was so prominent, and because Prabhupada specifically recognized him as being a great devotee. And that's because of that, he was the, practically speaking, one of the very few devotees that passed away before Prabhupada left. And we know from the pastime of Haridas Thakur that that was a coveted position, to be able to depart, to not have to see the departure of one's spiritual master is considered a great boon. It's too terrible to have to see to experience the departure of one's spiritual master. So Haridas Thakur requested that he could leave before, and Lord Chaitanya accepted. In this case, it wasn't necessarily Jayananda Prabhu's request, but it was Krishna's, Lord Jagannath's arrangement, and we're still lamenting over that. Sometimes we think what things would be like if Jayananda Prabhu were still here. How would he deal with all the challenges that we've been facing? And we can be certain that he would deal with them very nicely. And he would not become confused or bewildered, and he'd always have the perfect way of dealing with everything, and he would be inspiring us all. So that's why we lament. We lament because we really are missing such an example, such a devotee's association, to show us how to be successful in every circumstance. But he did it in a short time, and that's one of the things we need to learn, is that one can become Krishna conscious in a short time. He was joined in 67 and he left in 77. So 10 years. And he displayed, first of all, he understood what the essence was. He got it. He got it very quickly. And he got it so much that he threw himself completely into it. He didn't even hold on to anything. There was nothing in the material world that he wanted to hold on to. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, na jagadish. He gave up all those things. He gave all his money to Prabhupada. First of all, he gave that $5,000 for the printing of the Nectar of Devotion. Prabhupada noted it. And then at the end, when there was some money set aside for his further medical treatment, he gave that also to Lord Jagannath for Rath Yatra, which basically meant that there was no material hope, because materially speaking, one would have to take some treatment for such a thing if one wanted to overcome the disease. He had leukemia. So, but he didn't care for that either. All he cared about was Srila Prabhupada, Lord Jagannath, and the devotees, and all the entities in the three worlds. Because he was so infatuated, completely intoxicated with having Prabhupada and Lord Jagannath and the devotees association, that he wanted to bring every living entity into that association to give them that intoxication. And that's what he did. And he was tireless. I don't need to try to convince you that he was a saint person, because you all have heard and some of you know him. You got his association. But what you've heard about him has convinced you. But, for example, if Jayananda were still here, you could be sure that he would be paying obeisances to every devotee, every day. That was just part of his program. He loved to do that. And we might say, well, maybe when he was young, he would do it. But it's doubtful that he would have stopped that activity, because he enjoyed it so much. It was so much pleasure for him. And he inspired everyone. Remember when I, we went to San Francisco for the Rath Yatra, and Jayananda was, at that time he was acting president of Berkeley Temple, but during Rath Yatra he would go over, of course, and make the carts in San Francisco, so he needed someone to act as temporary president, so I was given that task. And so we had one office, and it was a policy that whoever, and then in that office there was the accountant, and there was a few other president and a few other devotees, so there were maybe three devotees in the office sharing. But whenever anyone would come into the office, everyone would pay obeisances to that person. Where did that come from? It came from Jayananda. Because that was his. And embracing devotees, he always liked to embrace all the devotees. And glorifying the devotees, feeding the devotees. He loved to feed the devotees, cook for the devotees. And another thing about him is he liked to engage the devotees. He wasn't sentimental about that. Not that he was sentimental about anything, but if you say that he was sentimental and he was always, you know, you could say, well, he's always in the mood of appreciating the devotees and wanting to please them. So why not just let them do whatever they want to please them? Let them do as they please. But that wasn't his mood. His mood was that it will please you if you please Lord Jagannath and please Srila Prabhupada. So he always liked to engage everyone in that service. I asked him once, how do you become happy in Krishna consciousness? And he said, I don't know, I never thought about it. which was surprising, because he was so happy, you would have thought that he was really trying to be happy, but he wasn't trying to be happy. He was trying to serve. He was just trying to execute the will of the spiritual master and Lord Jagannath. He He showed us how to relate with devotees. Everyone liked them. Dhiradhi rajana priyo priyakaro nirmatsaro pujito. He was the favorite of many, practically all the devotees. He was the favorite. He was among my two favorites. To me, he was like transcendental John Wayne. Well, we were raised in that era, so it was a great compliment. You can't get a better compliment than that for our era, because he was big like John Wayne and strong, and he didn't talk much, and humble, unassuming, fearless, kind to everyone. Wise. Jayananda had all these qualities. So, and he was older than us. He was 11 years my senior. And so most of the devotees were about my age, but he was older. So he was like an older godbrother. Not only an older godbrother that he joined earlier, but also older in that sense. But everyone liked him. If you read things about him on the internet, you'll see this. The women, they were very pleased with him because he was so kind to them and considerate and perfect gentleman always. And the brahmacharis loved him, and the derelicts loved him. They also loved him because he's not envious of anyone, therefore he's the best friend of all living entities. This is the principle of a devotee. A devotee must be the best friend because he's doing what Krishna wants. Krishna is suridam sarva bhutanam. Krishna is the best friend. And the devotee has taken shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, so he wants what Krishna wants. So if Krishna is the best friend, then the devotee he's the second best friend. Next best friend to Krishna, because he's always trying to take care of the devotees. I remember when I met Jayananda the first year in San Francisco, he just became completely amazed at what a wonderful thing this movement had. It had Jayananda. To have Jayananda was a priceless gem. And so I was thinking when I would get to see Jayananda again, because we went back to Los Angeles. And then there was he organized another festival, another parade, because he loved festivals, the Lord Chaitanya Festival for Gaur Purnima. At that time there was no... It wasn't a festival in Mayapur yet. So we went up, and I was just thinking how I could accomplish a feat that I wanted to do. I wanted to put my head on his feet, and I wanted to hold his feet on my head. That was my desire. But it wasn't going to be easy, because he would never allow me, and he's bigger than me. So how to do that? So I came up with a plan. I mean, just to give you an idea what kind of an effect Jayananda had on people. I mean, I consider myself a sane person. but this is the kind of effect that he had on me and others. So we drove up in the bus, the big school bus. And of course, Jayananda, I knew Jayananda would be there to greet everyone because that's, you know, what he does. So the bus came, it was full of devotees from Los Angeles, and he was there right at the front, and he greeted everyone, you know, when they got off. But I hid in the back. So after everyone was off, and Jayananda had gone off and done something else, then when he was looking the other way, I came running in and I grabbed his seat. He didn't know even who it was. So he was hesitant to do anything, you know, strong, because he didn't know who was doing this. And so I was just holding on. I wouldn't let him see who I was, so he wouldn't know what to do. So I got my desire fulfilled. But that's the kind of inspiration that he brought, and it wasn't something that was contrived. It was genuine that this person is as good as Krishna, as good as Prabhupada, in that sense, because he was teaching us how to surrender to Krishna, teaching us how to surrender to Prabhupada, how to live together peacefully. That was a great contribution. Wherever Jayananda was, there was a peaceful atmosphere. For sure. Everyone would get along nicely. He would make sure of that. Make sure they had plenty of prasada, make sure there was plenty of kirtan. That's the kind of things that he looked after. Make sure there were plenty of festivals. I went around to, on the following year, I was asked to try to put together a souvenir magazine for the Rath Yatra, to raise funds for the Rath Yatra. So I went around to some of the places that he had sold incense. And one man, he was, this man called him Johnny Nanda. I think he gave up some different names like that. He made it easy for the people to remember his name, because Jayananda they were having a difficult time with. So he said, Johnny Nanda. So this man, he actually cried when he was thinking of, he said, that man is so pure, he's such a wonderful. So this was just an ordinary man. But Jayananda had that kind of effect on people. One time, Prabhupada asked to see Jayananda. This was when we were in Berkeley. And Prabhupada was staying in a kind of, well, congregation's home. They were a kind of, well, they were a bit into psychedelics. So they had painted their whole house, all the rooms and the ceilings and the walls, with pastimes of Krishna and psychedelic forms. So Prabhupada liked that. He was staying there at that house. So Jayananda was going over there to respond to Prabhupada's request, and he asked me if I would like to go with him. That's a real friend. So as we were walking over to the house, Jayananda said, we can't go empty-handed, you know. And I didn't know what he meant. He said, we have to bring some offering. So we saw there was some big, nice houses there, and there were big, beautiful roses. So he walked up to the door, and he knocked on the door, and the elderly lady came out, and he told her that we're going to see our spiritual master, and we wanted to bring some offering. Would she mind sparing the two roses? And she was happy to comply, so we picked the two beautiful roses. We came in and offered vases and flowers. Prabhupada asked him, well, first he was asking about another devotee named Chidananda from San Francisco, who recently departed. He said about Chidananda that when he was in India, he was getting thinner and thinner and thinner. He was getting tuberculosis. But he didn't want to go back to the West, because he just wanted to serve. Prabhupada said he's a great devotee, he should be cared for very nicely. He was willing to sacrifice his life for Krishna. Prabhupada said about Chidananda. So after we discussed that for a while, he asked where Chidananda was he being taken care of properly, because he was sick. He had just gotten back. And, you know, we discussed that. There was an incident. He was in a hospital. Anyway, we won't go into the incident, but it was... So after that discussion, then Prabhupada asked Jayananda if he would like to go to India and help build the Mayapur temple. And Jayananda declined. He said, I'd rather stay. Prabhu said, okay. So I was a little surprised because I would have thought that, you know, if Prabhupada asked you something like that. The obvious inclination, the idea was it seemed that Prabhupada wanted him to go, or at least, you know. But Jayananda was mature and Prabhupada accepted that his, he didn't say anything more about it. He was quite satisfied with Jayananda's decision. Jayananda was humble in the true sense of the term, in that he genuinely did not have a high opinion of himself. Now, how does one get that? One can really only get that good quality by being a devotee of Krishna. Yes, yes, Bhagavat Ikinchana, Sarvaya Ganaista Trisamasa Tesara. Without being a devotee, one would only be able to get some kind of a reflection of humility. We see sometimes what appears to be humility in someone, and we can attribute that to some degree to their God consciousness, to the level of God consciousness that they've attained. But really, that's as far as we can go with it, because without being surrendered to God or being a devotee of the Lord, one can't have good qualities. There'll always be some flaw in that quality. It'll be superficial. But when a devotee is humble, it's humble all the way. There's no superficiality to it because he understands everything in its perfection. It's like someone who's genuinely fearless, like Jayananda was genuinely fearless. He didn't fear death, he wasn't afraid of it, and it didn't intimidate him, and it didn't disturb him. He went on serving up until the last second. I remember when I visited him in New York. This was during 77, so when was Rathyatra in New York?
76.
Oh, 76. Okay, so he didn't attend the one in 77. Right. So it must have been around that time, around June. I was on my way. Oh, wait, maybe this was after. Must have been after Rathyatra because I left in October, so it was October 76. So his illness was quite acute at that point. He was very weak. And he was staying up in the top floor. You probably visited him a lot, and he was reading Krishna book.
I was in L.A.
Oh, you were in L.A. at the time. Okay. So anyway, he was staying up at the top, and he was asking everyone to read Krishna book to him. That's what he wanted to do, read Krishna book. So I was reading Krishna book to him. And I was asking him about, you know, what his prasadam was. But he wasn't eating very much. So he wouldn't allow anything to be brought to him. But then, later on in the day, one day I saw him downstairs eating lettuce. And that was all he was able to eat. He was getting his own lettuce down there. He didn't want to take service from others. He loved to give service, but he didn't like to take service for himself. He liked to engage people in serving Krishna, Jagannath and Prabhupada. So, yes, I would say we're sorely, it's our misfortune that he's departed. We really could have, it would have been a wonderful thing to have him. But there must be some plan of Krishna also there, that at least his life, his devotional service was well documented. It was highlighted by Prabhupada and by the Rath Yatra in San Francisco, and so many devotees did get a chance to get his association, and so we're fortunate in that everybody can relish hearing about his activities. They're worth hearing about because they do inspire. They inspire because you don't have to be a great scholar to be a pure devotee. You don't have to have necessarily served for many, many years. You don't have to be born in a devotee's family. You don't have to have any material qualifications. Of course, he did have, but aside from that, it didn't matter, because if you just gave everything you had, whatever you could do, and kept fully engaged, then you could expect to get the kind of happiness and bliss that he got. And everyone who associated with him wanted to get that kind of happiness and bliss. That's what we're all looking for. Where is the happiness? Who can we emulate to get the happiness? He showed how to be the perfect servant. It's like Arjuna. Arjuna is so important to us, to the common man, because he was specifically chosen by Krishna to be the example of how to be a good student and a good devotee. Bhaktosi me sakachiti rahasyam itarutu. So in that sense, Jayananda filled that role. He was the perfect disciple, and Prabhupada recognized him as that. So maybe someone else would like to add some things.
To my great misfortune, I didn't have much personal association with Jayananda Prabhu. I was there in LA in 77 when he came, up from Tijuana, having given Providence $5,000, and more or less, I think some devotees advised him that, you should be among the devotees, because he was down, he was trying some alternative treatments in Tijuana. And then I forget who it was, but they advised him that you should be among the devotees, and so forth. So he gave the money and he just came to LA and he said, this is it. But the real dynamic that was going on in LA that I recall, you were there.
No, I wasn't there.
You weren't there at that time? Oh, that's right, 77, you were there early. Was the first LA Rath Yatra. Because the Rath Yatra, of course, had been going on in San Francisco for 10 years, and that was the West Coast Rath Yatra, And Ramastra really didn't want to get into it. He was, not spontaneously attracted to do the Rath Yatra in L.A. But Jayananda was totally into it. He saw this as his last main service to Prabhupada, I didn't feel. And he, he had... This money, I thought he had actually given it to Prabhupada, this other $5,000. But anyway, he was arranging, behind the scenes. He was very ill. You would see him come out. He would be in a wheelchair. I distinctly remember the day. It was today. It was his last birthday, and it was 77, and they were building the carts. By that time, Ramaswara agreed to do the Rath Yatra. So they were building the carts in that parking lot across, from the BBT on the corner there. Everyone who's been to LA knows that parking lot. And so Litanath was building these carts, which were incredible. It lasted until last year, like 30 years. It was amazing. They were so sturdy. But we went out there. I happened to have a serious sty in my eye, so one of my eyes was covered, but I was watching it, Jayananda came out there and had this big cape, he was just, I don't think he said anything, he was very ill at that time. But that that was a tremendous victory for him, because he was, you know, on the phone ordering the wood to build the carts, even though Ramsar hadn't agreed yet that there would be a Rathiyatra. So he made it kind of a fait accompli, you know, and he got the momentum going, and devotees enthused. He would speak to all the devotees about it. So finally Rama said, okay, you know, we'll do it. You know, he saw it. It was such a big thing. And that was the first, you know, of course it was posthumous, because the Rathiyatra came in August, and he passed away shortly after that, this time. No, it wasn't right. So this was his disappearance day. It was a little before this. Forget what his appearance day was. It was his birthday. So that was one thing that I recall about him. You know, it was amazing. And the other thing was that as the working at BTG, it was this like mystical thing that happened. Because the next year, it came around to Rathiyatra time. And we'd always do a special issue about Rathiyatra. We'd always have some Rathiyatra, you know, pictures and some focus on one Rathiyatra. So what are we going to do? Well, we should honor Jayananda. He had passed away the year before. This was 77. This was 78. So we had this whole story on Rathiyatra, and you know, and also we had this whole special page on Jayananda, commemorating, you know, the letters that Prabhupada wrote. He wrote a letter to him after he departed. It's a nice letter, maybe I can find it on here, where he said, "Well, if you had any attachment, you went to the heavenly planets. But I know that you didn't have attachment, you went back to Godhead," basically what he said. You know, and he thanked him for the $5,000, both when he joined and the last one. It was a very wonderful letter. So he was saying, where are we going to get this picture of Jayananda? You know, on the last day, the last minute, I don't know where it came from, it just arrived in the BTG office. Beautiful picture of Jayananda leading the kirtan in L.A., in New York, the year before, 76. Excuse me, 2 years before. And it was just a great triumph for him, because he was overcoming at that time his disease. He was already sick in the run-up to the New York Rathiyatra. And, you know, there's so many stories about that, Ratha, how that came to be. You know, the carts blew down like 2 days before, or 1 day before. There was this huge gust of wind, and they had to work all night. It was impossible, but somehow they did it, you know, and mobilized everybody as he always did. And then this beautiful photograph arrived, which we put on the cover of BTG. And it was just a perfect memorial. I saw that as like Krishna's arrangement, wanting to honor the people. So that's my little thing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other?
I saw him, first time I saw him was underneath a van with his legs sticking out, working on one of the Radha Damodar vans. That's how I saw him. 76 in New York, and just the one-liner in that regard, there is no set way a pure devotee looks. You'd see him, he had overalls, he was a big man, he had a bit of a prasadam belly, he fed all his crew just as he liked taking prasadam, and you just couldn't tap high, fast, you know. He was amazing, like you said, big man, and working so hard for Prabhupada's pleasure. But more significant that I can share, I was in Vrindavan in 1977 when Srila Prabhupada got news that he had passed away. And at first he didn't have the details of how he had passed away. It wasn't like today where it's, you know, immediately know everything. And so that's how he wrote the letter. The letter said, you know, glorified him and said, in passing away, if you had any material desire, then you'll go to the heavenly planets, and from there you can perfect your Krishna consciousness and go back home. And Tamal Krishna Goswami said that the whole day after Prabhupada had received word that he passed away, that he became so introspective. And he said it was as if he was searching, these are his words, as if Prabhupada was searching throughout the universe where his dear disciple had gone. And then shortly thereafter, the word came that he had passed away at Prabhupada's stage chanting japa.
Just at Mangalarti, they brought the garland.
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember that?
I remember that, yeah.
They brought the garland from Rukmini Dorkadish just at that auspicious time. So everything was auspicious.
And Prabhupada heard that. Then, of course, he said, he's gone back to Godhead. And he said every year, whenever we have Rathiyatra, there should be a picture put up on the cart.
Yes.
So everybody could remember and appreciate that Jayananda was the instrument that Prabhupada used to manifest Ratiyatra in the West, which spread around the whole world. And he also said on his disappearance day we should have a feast in his honor.
Yeah, like all the other Vaishnavas.
I think he also said put him on the calendar. And he is the only one, you know, of the modern sense now that is actually on the official calendar. If I could add one more thing, I just remember this, because there's so many stories you can remember that you may not have witnessed, but you've heard over the years. But one thing I would like to remind the devotees, you know, how, you know, in the early days, so many devotees were confirmed and trained as devotees by the very early devotees. So I'm thinking of especially Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Vishnujan, or many others, who joined in San Francisco. And they joined in the Jayananda era, you know, and Tamal Krishna just saw, you know, he wrote and saw the great qualities of Jayananda. And that helped them to become fixed and do what they did. And the other one that maybe people don't know about, because this is the classic Jayananda, Jayapatak Maharaj. He also, you know, drew him in. There was some Ratiyatra, I forget which one it was, and he was building the cart in the back of Frederick Street. And you know, everyone was walking around Haight-Ashbury, like, and Jayapatak Maharaj, I don't know what his previous name was. He walked by and he said, "Hey, you know how to put a hammer? Use a hammer." You know, and with a big smile, and he says, "Oh, sure, I can help out." You know, so he goes in the back there and you know he starts hammering. He says, "Oh, you are great." And someone told this story, and I think Jayapatak Maharaj, "You really do that very well. That's fantastic." You know, gets him into it. You know, 4 hours later, you know, after helping with the card and hearing Jayananda preach and everything, he became a devotee. Jayananda made him into a devotee. He really drew him in. And look at all of what's coming from Jayapatak Maharaj and these other great devotees. So this is one way of seeing, just like we honor Prabhupada, everything's coming from Prabhupada. You know, it's expanded. But also through his agents, so many others have, you know, become fantastic devotees, and this movie goes on.
I also remember in those days in LA, I was living in Laguna Beach, and I was a really young devotee, and I just remember that kind of fervent atmosphere when I was a young buddy, but I remember seeing Jayananda in his wheelchair there, and he was, I remember Mukunda Maharaj was helping with that Ratiyatra too. Not just building the cards. It was very intense. I have this vision, you know, just this remembrance of the scene and catching the kind of vibe that it was like something was like stirring.
Yeah.
That was very good. But I also remember Guna Grimar's telling me that when he would take him to the clinic down in Tijuana for the cancer treatments, and he said that he asked Jayananda. One time he asked him, "How do you become sincere?" And Jayananda said, "I don't know, I'm so busy I haven't had time to think about it."
That's a great line.
Okay, thank you very much. Sri Jayananda Prabhu ki jai. Namaste.